You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast, your pre-trade deadline episode, the final full 24 hours before the deadline comes. And the Rockies, will they make some moves? What is the future of the team? We'll find out today and tomorrow as moves continue to be made all across the league. I'm Paul Holden, and we're going to break all things down, all Rockies things down, as I should say. And we're going to talk a little bit about trades of the past of the club and look ahead to some success that the Rockies have had lately. Maybe some good mojo heading into the final stretch of this long California road trip that has seen some positives for the club, but it's still the road Rockies, and we know what we get when it comes to the road Rockies. But before we get to everything today, a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by the MLB Trade Deadline Show. And the MLB Trade Deadline is approaching, and the Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the Hot Stove Live. 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in July 30th. That's tomorrow, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. I will be on that show. I'll be on the first hour at least. I might hang around later than that, but I will be kicking off that show there. Maybe breaking things down about the Rockies, but we'll be talking about all sorts of great things from the rest of the league and all the moves on the trade deadline tomorrow. So be sure to join us for that on the Locked On MLB YouTube channel starting at 3 p.m. Eastern. But like I said, today's show, going to talk a little bit more about the Rockies and the trade deadline. We're going to look back at a big trade from the past and look to the future, i.e. the games tonight against the Padres. Let's start with the deadline, and let's start with where the Rockies are at in terms of the trade deadline. As I've continued to see and continued to research, I'm even checking my phone. I'm going to be doing it throughout the show. I'm going to be checking in to make sure that we are not in any issues or missing out on anything in terms of breaking news or trades that the Rockies might have made. But the big story obviously facing the Rockies right now is Trevor Story remains on the club in the lineup last night. He's still playing, another home run last night. And the market appears to be heating up a little bit, but it's still strange to me why Trevor Story hasn't been traded. And I think there's a lot more to that on the Rockies end than teams being hesitant about his performance this year. While Trevor Story's performance is down, while there's issues and things of concern to be had for Trevor Story, I think you have to realize that this is a player that will bring a huge presence to your club. And I think he's a player that has suffered this year because of the circumstances surrounding the ball club and other things. I mean, it's been a tough year to be Trevor Story. I mean, he's the last remaining piece other than Charlie Blackmon in the competitive teams and, of course, the starting rotations. But he was the last big cornerstone. Obviously, Charlie Blackmon has that too. But when you think of the competitive Rockies, I know Charlie Blackmon's going to be in there, and I've said it three times now, but that infield is what you think of, that elite infield of Arenado, Story, and LeMahieu. I think Trevor Story is going to be another example of a player that thrives outside of Colorado. I think we don't know how much he got caught up in the offseason antics of Jeff Breidich and Dick Monfort, and I think that plays a role. I just like we see throughout sports, the mentality that you have, the mind state that you have, and the feelings that you have as a player and as a professional, those all factor into your performance. And I think Trevor Story is dealing with probably one of the hardest years of his career, especially at the point where he's a vet. He's someone that's considered a high-level player. He doesn't have anything to prove to anybody, maybe except New York fans that'll never be excited about, you know, a Coors Field bat coming their way. Any team would be better with Trevor Story on it. I'm just not going to lie. I mean, I still, even with his production being down, I think Trevor Story is a top five shortstop in the league and makes your team better. Maybe if you have one of the elite shortstops in the game, he doesn't help you, but he helps teams like the Yankees. He would help teams like the Mets. I don't necessarily agree with these putting him in center field, playing him at second base type of moves, because he's been severely underrated as a defender in terms of national recognition. Trevor Story should have a gold glove by now. The fact that he doesn't have a gold glove is a little bit disappointing. I mean, Trevor Story is, while his offense is down, is a phenomenal, phenomenal shortstop. He is very, very good. He this year, he probably won't get it. His arm, and I think even Ken Rosenthal was looking into his arms and it's how it's concerning his throws and things. But it's something that shocks me that Trevor Story doesn't have a gold glove. He's someone that is well deserving of that. And like I said, at this point, for so many teams trying to make the push, Trevor Story is a guy that will make a huge impact on your ball club. And I think it's a bigger deal that the Rockies haven't let him go because they're asking too much. I mean, this is the Rockies front office fault. There's too many high caliber players that play the infield, that are utility players, that are or shortstops, that give you better value than what Trevor Story is giving you right now at this point of the season. Only getting Trevor Story for a couple months and looking for a big haul back just isn't going to happen. That's just not in the cards. A team isn't going to take a risk unless they know that they can bring Story back for multiple years. And what's hard with Trevor Story is we don't really know where he wants to go. I mean, there's been the things that he wants to go back to Texas, but does he really want to go back to Texas? I guess at the end of the day, when it comes to trades and free agency and what Trevor Story will do, it just is a matter of how truly important that competition versus payday is. There is that line that athletes go through, and I mean, I'm not one, but at some point, athletes do have to ask themselves the question is, what's more important, the biggest paycheck that I can get and maximizing in that part of my career, or the success of a championship? I mean, every player wants to win the championship. That's obvious. That's, of course, what they want to do. That's part of what keeps them going, and that's what people pay them to do, is to be competitive and to go after championships. But let's be real. It's people's jobs. It's what they do. It's how they make their money. And with their careers not being something that they can count on for 30 years, you can't blame it when players want to go and maximize the money that they can make, even if they're not going to go to the most competitive teams at that moment. But it's paid off for Manny Machado going to the Padres and things at this point when he went to the club when they were really starting to pick things up. And now look at where the Padres have ended up. It's worked for plenty of teams. Just banking on this idea of getting a draft pick in return of Trevor Story is not enough, though. The Rockies can get something. There is a team out there that is willing to make a deadline deal where the Rockies can get a little bit more for Trevor Story than what they thought. With who, I don't know. I mean, because again, it's too late. That rental is too short for teams to really want to take the big risk. And I mean, let's be honest, his numbers are down offensively this year. I don't think you have to worry that much about it. I think he's a player that will do well out when he leaves Colorado because he gets the opportunity at a new chance. He gets the opportunity to go somewhere new. I keep going back and forth if I think Trevor Story is going to be traded. I definitely think there was some – I can't remember who was talking about it today. I think I saw a tweet about it. It might have been – I don't know. But a tweet – some sources were saying that it was going to be a deadline deal. I've always thought that was the case with Trevor Story. I think the Rockies are going to just – they I don't know if drag their feet is going to be the best thing. They are going to wait until the last possible moment to get all the offers that – they might be fielding, they might be getting it, and see what they think is best for them. And would it really shock me if what they think is best for the Rockies is to allow Trevor Story to finish his time in Colorado this season and go elsewhere to get the draft pick? Then I would not be shocked. But there's the CBA stuff. Are they going to get the draft picks with the new arguments that the players are signing? Is there a chance Trevor Story wants to return to the Rockies? We just don't know this because we haven't heard anything from the front office, and we don't know what the direction of this team is at the deadline. And this has been what's been so frustrating as a Rockies fan for so long, is not having any transparency or a front office that likes to communicate with media or us or the fans of what they actually want to do, other than to sit back and be like, oh, trust us. Let us do our thing. Let us do this. And it's hard to trust the Rockies front office and organization to do the right thing. especially in terms of trades, especially when everyone's an interim, especially when the front office is still up in the air. I mean, I feel like I've talked about this a million times. It just all goes back to the front office of the club just not knowing what the heck is going on. They don't have the direct. I mean, they want to go back to what it was. They're bringing. Look at how many old Rockies faces have come back to the club in the past 24 hours. Drafted and traded away. All these players, all these pieces coming back. They clearly like these players if they're bringing them back. They're bringing Gardeau back for the ninth time or whatever. Gardner. I can't remember who that was today. But I mean, the Rockies want to go back to what they thought was working, and I just don't know what was. The Rockies haven't been successful since the first half of the 2019 season. Yes, they started hot in the pandemic season, but then look what happened. That wasn't sustainable. The Rockies still could make a move. The option is there, and I don't think that they are going to sit and completely just let this fly by without fielding offers. The opportunity for the Rockies to do something is there. I just don't know when it's going to happen. And is Trevor Story going to be involved? Most likely if the Rockies make another big move. But John Gray, CJ Cron, Daniel Bard, other options that the Rockies could move as well. I mean, again, the big trade, if you're going to see it happen, it's going to become with Story and Gray. And the blockbuster will be a Story and Gray combo for a team that's looking for a starting pitcher boost in addition to the bat of Trevor Story. What you have to pay for both of those is probably far too much for most of the team. I highly doubt you would get both of them for what the Rockies might want, especially with the Rockies' interest in bringing John Gray back to the club. But we shall see. The clock continues to tick. The deadline is tomorrow, and we will see what the future of the Rockies is after 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And we'll break it all down right here on Locked On Rockies. Before we move on, got to tell you about rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers. You have better access to the internet. Why not check out rockauto.com and on your mobile device? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. It's a family-run business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices, they're reliably low for every customer, and they have that beautiful, easy-to-use website at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Yesterday marked the anniversary of another big trade in Rockies history. It was 6 years ago that the Rockies sent Troy Tulowitzki, the superstar shortstop, to the Toronto Blue Jays for Jose Reyes, Miguel Castro, Jeff Hossman, and Jesus Snoko. And when you look at it, no one necessarily won this trade. Unfortunately, Tulo was never able to stay healthy. There was a question on Twitter going around a couple months ago of what one athlete could you pick to have a non-injury riddled career, and for me it was no doubt Troy Tulowitzki. Would have been great to see Ken Griffey Jr. as well, but for me, and as a Rockies fan, if Tulo got to stay healthy, he would have been one of the elite players in the game for a long, long time. He was the start of that of this great Rockies infield defense we've come to know and love for a long, long time. And he was major in the development of Nolan Arenado, and I believe a little bit of influence on Trevor Story in terms of just watching him and seeing what you get to see, or what the Rockies expect from the shortstop position after Troy Tulowitzki. I mean, you have high hopes, you have high expectations. Anyone that had to fill those are big shoes to fill. Tulo was the biggest name on the team, a la Todd Helton. I mean, on the national scale, it was probably too low. But I remember vividly where I was actually on this day when the trade went down. I was in the Southwest, and I was on a big road trip with a bunch of my friends, and we had stopped off. I believe it was in Arizona, somewhere in that range, and it was a hot day. And I had no service for a while. And then I finally got service and my phone blew up. Not like a ton, but I got about like 10 text messages asking me, did they just trade Troy Tulowitzki? And I was like, Rockies did not just trade Troy Tulowitzki. There's no way that they traded Troy Tulowitzki. I figured that he was going to be a part of the puzzle for a long, long time. I was younger then, obviously, but didn't have as much understanding of the game and the business. But you see this trade, and that's a haul. I mean, the Rockies get Jose Reyes and three prospects at that point. I mean, most of them are all at the major league level now. Actually, in fact, they're all at the major league level now, all three of those pitchers. But let's look at this from the Rockies side. They get Jose Reyes, who played horribly when he was here. He was not great in the clubhouse. And let's not forget that he was arrested and suspended on domestic violence. So big yikes there. Big step back there. Never really liked the Jose Reyes move. I mean, it was a name that I was familiar with, but it was just one where his performance was way down. And then, of course, off the field issues were not great. This is not, I mean, to go from the person that people look up to the Jose Reyes, obviously there's a lot more to that situation than we know, but Jose Reyes wasn't a good fit for the club either. It just didn't work. I don't think he didn't want to go to Colorado, if I recall correctly, and it just didn't work out very well with Jose Reyes's time in Colorado. You look at the arms that the Rockies got, and Jeff Hoffman, the Rockies gave plenty of opportunities too, and we know what Jeff Hoffman was capable. He was average at best, maybe good, flashes of good every now and then, but he's no longer with the club. Miguel Castro. Also, I can't remember too much of him with the Rockies, but it's just another example of how, even though you might make these big trades for, you know, look at it from the Blue Jays perspective too, you make these big trades and they still might not pan out. Baseball's weird. Sports are weird. It's tough. Miguel Castro now pitching for the Mets. He's bounced around to a couple of other clubs as well, as kind of tailed off there. And then we saw one piece remains from the Troy Tulowitzki trade. We actually saw him last night in a couple of pitches, couple of innings. I don't even think he actually got through a couple of innings, but I believe he finished or had an ERA at one point of over 100. And I think was last night his only pitching performance. Yeah, last night was his first appearance this year. That ERA had settled down a little bit to a nice 33.7, but 7.5. He's 26, and he's only seen a little bit of pro time. He was with Miami for a little bit in 2020. I guess he came back. I don't know. Nothing that he shows you last night gives you any indication that he's going to be the arm of the future for the club. But that's just the nature of the business sometimes. It's just how it works out. And what a drastic move it was. When you come into these decisions, it does take a lot. I harp a lot on the front office and things. I know it's not easy. I know this job's not easy. I'm not out here sitting here claiming that I can be a GM of a baseball team. I mean, I'm not trying to claim that. But I am trying to claim that the right people in the right positions can make these tough decisions and make things better for your club. And make it so that you have a direction, you have a purpose, you have an idea of where you're trying to go. And the Rockies have desperately lacked that for a long, long time. Long, long time. But 6 years ago, pretty crazy. I don't know. I do like being a podcaster. I do like talking about sports more than I like being in the business side of sports, because as much as I do think I could handle things or I have good ideas, I know it's bigger than that. And there's a lot more that goes into it than just some simple yellings into a microphone and some quick notes. But I just thought it was crazy. I saw that on Twitter the other day and I couldn't believe it's been that long since that trade. That was like the first moment in my sports fandom where my foundation was rocked to my core as a Rockies fan. I was really shaken up and broken up by that. But as you learn, that's the nature of the business, and that's just how it goes sometimes, unfortunately. And wish it could have panned out better for both teams, but Tulo got to contribute to some big big stuff here in Toronto in his time, and he is definitely one of my, still one of my favorite players, still one of my favorite Rockies, and one of my favorite people that I got to watch in person. He was an absolute delight to watch, and he made baseball very fun and brought some swagger to the Rockies that I thought was very, very cool. And 6 years. Wow. 2015, that trade was made, I think. Let me double check that I got my numbers right on that one. But 2015, Troy Tulowitzki is traded for Jose Reyes and pitching prospects Miguel Castro, Jeff Hoffman, and Jesus Tinoco. And it is just another trade deadline with another shortstop that could be on the move for the Rockies. We shall see. Again, I think that's kind of the best way to sum up everything with the Rockies in this year and what comes next and what the team is thinking is we shall see, because we don't know, because we haven't been told anything or we haven't been shown anything in terms of the direction that the Rockies truly want to go and what they're sticking with, other than trying to revisit old prospects and players that they have shipped off in the past couple of years. One thing that you need to stay up to date with are all the odds and information when it comes to betting, and Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch between the Rockies and the Padres, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Remember, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, the Rockies continue their California road trip, and they have dropped the last two series, dropping 2-3 to the Dodgers, 2-3 to the Angels. They now head to San Diego, where they take on the dreaded rivals, San Diego Padres, the new look San Diego Padres, armed with Adam Frazier now. The Rockies have been very successful against the Padres lately. Will it continue tonight? We'll have to see. But the Padres are 1-5 against the Rockies in the past two series. And the Rockies, they did have that sweep at Coors Field. The Rockies get their first home or road series win against the team. But like we said, they've added some pieces, and they are a new look team, and they understand at this point of the year, all divisional matchups are important, and you have to be up for the task and ready to go. And I think the Rockies want to play spoiler. They want to show that they're better on the road. But it's interesting. This is a Padres team that does have a lot of good pieces, that has a lot of good about it. But it's also a Padres team that as a Locked On Padres host Javier mentioned there, he hasn't seen them grow. He hasn't seen them turn into that great team that they have the potential of being. And he's got a good point there. It's interesting. The Padres are very good, but they should be better. They're still 59-45. They're much better than the Rockies. They have 15 more wins than them, 34-20 at home. But I think at this point, and with the pieces that the Padres have and these new pieces, I think you expect more from the Padres here going forward. And I think you're going to see it from the Padres. The Padres are going to be a better club in the second half. They're going to get into that elite level. Well, they're already in the elite level. They're one of the better teams of baseball, let's be honest. But with these moves, with the pressure, with competing with the Dodgers and the Giants, the NL West is going to have three teams just slugging out for the rest of the year, and the Rockies are going to be part of it, and maybe they get to play a little bit of spoiler. And they're going to rely on Kyle Freeland to do it tonight. He has been sharp over his last few starts. The record, you know, wins and losses, just get it out of there. The Rockies really have not provided much run support for Kyle Freeland, scoring no more than two runs in his last five starts. The Rockies have been shut out twice in Kyle Freeland's last five starts. And the most damage that Freeland has allowed himself was three runs. And he did that against the Dodgers and against the Padres here. And in those games that he let up three earned runs, he also had four strikeouts, no walks, and six hits. I mean, that's not a bad line. That's not a bad line against your division rivals. I mean, you're obviously excited about that. So one thing we got to love is Kyle Freeland really being getting back into his groove and is doing stuff that we know he can do and you love to see. We just hope that the Rockies didn't use all of their offense on this road trip in that Angels series. And hopefully they got a little left in the tank to back up their starting pitchers, which that put on some pretty good road performances. Not great on this road trip, but Kyle Freeland was great in his last performance. We know that for sure. So Kyle Freeland, let's get him some run support. He desperately needs it. The Rockies have not done that for him in his last five starts. They obviously have to score to win, and this is a Padres club that will score. And I think for Kyle, he needs to be ready for a hungry lineup. But, folks, that's going to do it for the Locked On Rockies podcast for today. Kind of quick and easy today is really the big storylines we continue to monitor the trade deadline. We follow the Rockies. We know what's going on, but the big storylines still remain. What do the Rockies do at the deadline? We'll find out, and I'll be breaking it all down for you on the MLB draft show tomorrow. Not draft, the MLB trade deadline show on Locked On MLB's YouTube channel. But tonight, join the nice, great, awesome folks over at Locked On NBA, Chad Ford, Rafael Barlow, and John Corrales. They're hosting the live NBA draft show tonight. It's on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel. I think it's going to be streamed all over the place. They got this really, really cool set that they're doing. Local expert analysis on each pick from Locked On host. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch the live coverage tonight starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. NBA draft tonight. Really great coverage going on from the Locked On Podcast Network there for all you hoops fans out there. Rockies Padres tonight going on at 8:10 Mountain Time. I know you all love those California games. Three more games on this California road trip. We'll see how the Rockies do in San Diego. This is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.